The Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, how incomprehensible are his judgment and how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? For from him, through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded to you. And behold, I am with you all the days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Many years ago, about 50 years ago, a certain theologian observed, he said that most Catholics, when you speak about the Holy Trinity, or when they think about the Holy Trinity, think about the Holy Trinity as three individuals. That most Catholics today, we don't have a good understanding of the unity of God, but we tend to think in the three persons as being very distinct. It's important for us to meditate and to think about this great mystery. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is one of the two great mysteries of our faith. Of course, the Holy Trinity, the threeness and oneness of God, is the one mystery. And then the other one is the incarnation of our Lord. He is one person with two natures. That's a great mystery. And so this mystery of the Holy Trinity, what is this threeness and what is the oneness? You know, a good example is when someone knocks on your door, they knock on the door, and you ask, "Who is there?" And the voice at the other side of the door says, "It is Tom, Dick, and Harry." So we open up the door, and there we see three persons, Tom, Dick, and Harry. And then you might ask, "Well, who of the three of you actually knocked on the door? Who did that?" And they say, "Oh, well, it was actually Tom who knocked on the door." Now, this is an example of understanding what a person is. What is a person? A person is that which does something. So when you ask, "Who knocked on the door?" they don't answer, "Well, a human entity did, or human nature, or a human being." No, we say the person, Tom did. When we ask, "Who is there?" the answer is Tom, Dick, and Harry. All three of them are there. Person, the notion of person, and it's only in regards to an intellectual being, is what does something. The person does the thing. It's important to understand this. It answers the question of who. How many who's are on the other side of the door? There are three who's. Who? Who are you? I am Tom. Who are you? The answer of who is the person. And they're the one that actually does the thing. Now, we have this other concept of nature, or essence, or being. We ask, how many human beings were on the other side of the door? Well, there are three human beings. Who knocked on the door? Did the human being knock on the door? We really don't say, "Yes, the human being knocked on the door." No, we say, "Which person?" Tom did, this particular human being. And so, the notion of essence, or being, or nature answers the question of what. What are you? You can say, "I'm a person," or "I'm a human being." How many human beings are there? There are three. So this notion of whatness and who-ness, it's person and nature. Now we have to kind of get a little bit of a feel for this in order to understand the threeness and oneness in God. In God, there are three who's. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they do things. So when our Lord became incarnate, he is the one who became incarnate in the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit didn't. The Father didn't. Who became incarnate? Who? Jesus did. The second person of the Trinity. By whose power, though, did he become incarnate? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, although we don't say it in the creed, it's who sent the Son to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Who sent him? It's the Father. The three persons all do different things. The Holy Spirit is the one who, by his power, our Lord Jesus becomes incarnate, and they are sent by whom? By the Father. The persons are the ones that do things. And yet, for God, there's a unity there. You know, when our Lord talks about, at the Last Supper, he talks about the Father and himself. He says, the Father and I are one. He mentions that. He says to Thomas, he says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And this is in reference to the unity between the three persons of God. And how are they united? They're united in terms of essence or being or nature. Remember, those all mean the same thing. And so there are three who's in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's only one nature. There's only one essence, the divine nature. And this is different from everything else that we experience. For each human is a human nature and a human person. Each person is individual. I have my own human nature. You have your human nature, you have your human nature, you have your human nature. But God is different. There is one nature for the three persons. And this is what makes it so difficult for us to understand. And this is the nature of a mystery of the faith, is that it is something that we can begin to comprehend by our reason, but we can never exhaust it. We can never comprehend it. Comprehend means to like get your arms around it, literally. We can never get our arms completely around it. Because it's God. We're talking about the very nature of God, what he is. And how can we get that fully into this little area up here, the little gray matter, the little gray cells up here, is that this is finite and God is infinite. There's a story about St. Augustine. He was wrote about 400 AD, and he wrote the first great theological work on the Trinity. And he was walking along the beach there in North Africa, contemplating the Holy Trinity, and he saw a little boy cupping the ocean water, the Mediterranean sea water, in his hands, and he was running over, and he had a little hole in the sand. And he was putting the water in the hole, and he kept running back and forth, putting the water in the hole. And he said, what are you doing, little boy? And he said, well, I'm going to put the ocean into this little hole right here. And St. Augustine said, well, you could never get the whole ocean into that little hole. And then the little boy said to him, but that's the same thing that you are trying to do, is you could never get the Holy Trinity inside of your head. Meaning it's beyond complete comprehension for us. We can understand it a little bit, but we can never fully comprehend it. So, this notion of one and three. Now, we tend to think of the different persons very separately. And when we have this understanding of the one and three, it still becomes even harder. Because even though we might think of the Father separately, well, he does something, Father, you know, Father Gismondi, you said that the Father, we can understand him by what he does, and the Son by what he does, and the Holy Spirit by what he does. However, when we start to really look at the individual persons, though, they never are there by themselves. So although they may do something individually, the others are always there. So an example of this is last week we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the members of the church. He comes and dwells within us. He is sent by the Father and the Son to dwell in us. It's an example of persons. The Father, the person, the Son, the person, they together send the Holy Spirit, the person, to dwell in us. But when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, it's not just Him alone that's dwelling in us, but He brings with Him the Father and the Son. So the Holy Trinity dwells in us. And this makes it so much harder to understand that whenever we really begin to investigate the workings of the individual persons, the other three are always there. Now, to make it even more complicated, all right, is that when dealing with our Lord, though, in His human nature, you know, it's always Him by Himself. So when Jesus died on the cross, it was only Him. We don't say the Father died. We don't say the Holy Spirit died. Why? Because that's something He did with His human nature. His human nature, not His divine nature. So we need to make that distinction. But we can say, though, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. Then we can also say the Father dwells in us and the Son dwells in us. Why? Because there's always this unity with the persons. Now, this is actually reflected in the Mass. When we say the Kyrie eleison in the extraordinary form, we do it 9 times. The Kyrie, Christe, Kyrie. It's 9 times. The first Kyrie is addressed to the Father, the first set of 3. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Those are addressed to the Father. The next 3, the Christe, are addressed to the Son. He's the anointed one, the Christ. So we're asking Him, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy. On us, of course, and on the whole world. And then the last 3 are to the Holy Spirit. Again, we do 3 for Him. But the reason why we do 3, though, is to recognize that although those are addressed to the individual persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is still the Father with the other 2. So we say the 3 in order to represent the fact that there's still the 3 persons there, even though the unity of the nature, even though we're addressing it to the Father. And for Christ we do the same, and for the Holy Spirit to do the same. Now, I've probably lost everyone at this point. But don't worry, for we will meditate on this and we will contemplate this forever in heaven. And I promise you our Lord will be able to explain it to you far better than I am doing right now. But this is the fundamental mystery of the faith. It is about God Himself in His interior life. How there are the 3 persons, and yet there's this unity, this oneness within Him. And so this is the great mystery we celebrate in this Mass today, the mystery of the Trinity. And it is the mystery that we will dwell on in heaven for eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.